The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Strap yourself down and get ready to titter with laughter. It's the Nate Darling Show with Diana Hong, Kareem Daniels, and Christiana D. And now, the Grandmaster of Guffaw. Here's Nate.
You know, I need to get new opens done. It's crazy, but Diana's not here, but she's just selling shoes to ladies. So that's all. Kareem's here. Hi, Kareem.
Hello.
But Christiana is not here. And Christiana won't be here for the foreseeable future.
I'm sad.
Yeah. It's all your fault, Kareem. No, I'm just kidding. Christiana is a incredibly busy person. She's a lawyer, as we've discussed on the show. She does a lot of charity work. And she's been on the show for almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years next month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And she has a little kid and a husband at home, and her schedule just got a little bit overwhelming, so she asked to take an extended leave of absence. So, she is taking an extended leave of absence. When is she coming back? Is she coming back? We don't know.
Dun, dun, dun.
But, yeah, so we got that. So, if you don't hear Christiana, that's why. There was no falling out, there was no anger, there was just busyness all around. But with Diana gone, our friend Justin Lair is joining us. Justin, hello.
How's it going?
Going well. Welcome to the living room studio.
Thank you very much.
Is it everything you imagined it to be?
It is. It's everything that I've ever dreamed of and expected, including a really cute little cat over here.
Yeah, that's Ace. That's Ace. There's another black cat. That's Hef. So there's two of them. They'll be roaming around. Oh, Hef's over there behind you, so should be good. You don't have any bare feet hanging out, so you should not be having a problem with anything. So you're all good. So, Kareem, I see you went wine tasting this weekend. What brought that on?
Oh, it was my girlfriend's birthday last week, and so one of our friends belongs to a couple of wineries, so they decided that they would take us wine tasting.
Nice.
Yeah.
Was it your first time going?
Yes.
And how was it?
It's a con.
Everything's a con.
It is a con. It is the biggest. I'm not gonna say it's the biggest con, but it's a con.
It's right up there.
Wait, yeah. Did you go to one of the ones that like charges you up front, then you have to buy one of their bottles of wine to be reimbursed?
No, that's not why it's a con. The whole alcohol industry is a con.
Okay.
Let me taste this beer. Hold on.
Yes.
Explain.
Okay, because nobody ever drinks any alcohol and is like, you usually make a face like, ugh, but you love the way the alcohol makes you feel, and so you talk yourself into saying it's delicious.
Well, that's not really true. There's several beers that I very much enjoy the taste of.
Uh-huh. And you swirl it around in your mouth so you can get used to it.
No, I don't, actually. That's
well,
what
he just did that.
Well, yeah. But
I was just trying to think about what he was saying, and so I guess the same could be said for anything that we consume, because essentially you've been trained to think that's delicious. Like, for me, I don't think that, you know, I don't really like fish that much. I didn't grow up eating a lot of fish. So for me, you know, that kind of thing is not very delicious. But, you know, other people grew up on fish. They think it's delicious. They eat it all the time. So I think it's similar. You know, you've trained your palate to like something of that nature.
Correct.
Well, I mean, when you're a kid, of course, you don't like the taste of alcohol. But when you're a kid, you only like sweet, yummy stuff.
When you're an adult, you don't like the taste of alcohol, but you still drink it.
Well, it's not
anything that you gotta think about what it tastes like while you're tasting it. You don't like it. You're talking yourself into liking it while you're tasting it.
No, I completely disagree. There are literally dozens of beers that I love drinking.
Yeah, don't make me defend my booziness right here, because I will.
Go ahead and defend your booziness. But the first time you had alcohol, your thought was, ooh, this is delicious. I want to keep doing this. You thought, ugh.
Actually, that's not true. The first time I had alcohol, I was a kid, and my uncle gave me Miller High Life. And I liked
that
it.
That does not count.
And I liked it. And to this day, Miller High Life holds a little place in my heart. The little corner where I drink cheap beer that isn't very good.
That is alcoholic Kool-Aid.
Okay, now you're just making excuses and spitting.
No, that is alcoholic Kool-Aid.
I can kind of see where he's coming from, because for the longest time, I did not like beer. Because my friends drink really shitty beer. They drank like, you know, Red Dog and Natty Ice.
Yeah, it tastes terrible. Yeah.
And you drank it because you wanted to fit in.
No, I would try to drink it. Trust me, I tried. And my default was Mad Dog 2020, which you just cannot be a grown man at this age and walk around drinking Mad Dog 2020. So now I've been forced to graduate onto beer, I guess. So I think I'm just straddling the fence here.
Yeah.
And you and I had beers at Track 7 last week. And they make they call it Tracktoberfest. It's their seasonal beer. It's fantastic.
And there are a couple of beers I will say that are good. But think about your reaction to every time you drink wine or you see people drink wine or alcohol. Like, oh, that's smooth. You don't say, oh, that's delicious. It's, ooh, that's smooth. Oh, that has an earthy taste to it. Like, no, yeah, it's because it doesn't taste that good. But, okay, we like the way it makes us feel, so we'll talk ourselves into it.
Well, you could make that argument about most gourmet type foods too, or any weird cheese or anything like that.
I don't know. He might be winning me over because now he's turned into the wine thing. And for me, I think a lot of it is just kind of made up. Because if you pour like a bunch of red wines for me, I could not tell you the difference between most of them, unless it was
And the con is this: you're not comparing it to something else that you would be drinking. Like, you're not comparing.
Yeah, it's
to
always
wine.
Like, you know, this is persimmon, like, and some hints of clover.
You're not comparing the wine to Pepsi. You're like, ooh, I love Pepsi. But compared to wine, like, oh yeah, I'd rather have some Pepsi.
Yeah, but you love Pepsi. You love Pepsi because of the way sugar makes you feel.
But you're comparing the wine to the other shitty wine that you're drinking. And you're like, okay, well, that wine does taste better than that shit that I just drank. They're like, you might as well be comparing piss to piss.
I don't know. He might be converting me. I might stop drinking wine and beer pretty soon. I don't know.
Yeah, just switch to Pepsi and Kool-Aid.
And then by the time you finish at a wine tasting, what we had, I probably drank like 20 small glasses of wine yesterday. So by the time you get to number 10 or 15, you're like, oh, this is delicious.
But that 19th was amazing.
Yeah, it's like you can taste all of the shit that's in there then.
Yeah, well, at that point, you're drunk.
But the other part, the part that really got me about the wine tasting, because I posted a picture of me at the edge of the vineyard. This particular vineyard, you'd have to ride a gondola to get to the top of it. So you get there and you walk out on this terrace and you just look out and you just see light property.
Rolling hills.
That was the shit that got me. Like, I post a picture like, oh, white people, I get it now. I do.
So you just came for the scenery.
The scenery was what got me. So like, every time that I've made fun of white people for living on a hill, I apologize. I get the shit now. I totally understand. Because if that was my property and I got to walk out on that terrace every day, I would walk out on that terrace naked with a hard dick being like, I am king of all that I foresee. That shit was cool.
Well, if you go to Vermont, you're going to be overwhelmed because everything is on a hill there. Because that's all we have.
And then the dude across the street has a fucking castle on his hill.
That's what they do now. They just build bigger and bigger wineries. And they charge you extra.
No, he has a castle. A real fucking castle.
That's not the winery. That's his house.
That's
just his house?
Yes.
Because his winery is doing very well.
Maybe he's just looking at some medieval times.
Yes, he has a winery, but he has a castle. He has built a castle on a hill in St. Helena.
That's just what white people dream of. That is what white people dream of. Watch Game of Thrones and think about building a big-ass castle somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, wine gets ridiculously expensive, too. And honestly, I've never had an expensive bottle of wine for two reasons. One, I'm cheap. And two, I'm afraid I'm going to like it. And if I really like the expensive wine, I won't be able to go back and drink like $2 chuck.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to drink $2 chuck.
And, you know, they charge like 20. It starts at like $20 per tasting.
Yeah.
So if you just got people in and you're just giving them like a sample of wine all day on a Sunday or during the weekend, you know.
Yeah, it's tough when you buy that expensive wine too. There's a local place here in Midtown that does wine tasting, and they just do ports, right? And a lot of ports are, you know, if you get like a 20-year-old port, and they're like, you know, around $40 or so.
Yeah.
And so a place is Ficklin down the street, right? You get a membership, you go in there, do your tastings for free and all that stuff. And so so my girlfriend's actually a member there, and she constantly wants to buy these expensive ass bottles of port. And then, you know, like later on, you know, a couple weeks later or whatnot, she'll be slightly buzzed and say, oh, let's open this bottle of port. And I'm like, no, do not open that $45 bottle of port right now. And sure, they like match it with an It's or something like that, like eating a handful of Skittles and like a $50 glass of freaking port. You're like, no, for God's sakes, just.
And then that's on the cheap end. That was like the last place we went. I think the last one he gave us was like $120 a bottle.
No. That's just shit you look at that point.
Yeah. It was $120 a bottle.
That's a bottle that you buy to stare at.
That you can't drink for like 5 years for it to be right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People who buy those to say they bought them and to feel like you're important. Like, look, I thought nothing of throwing $150 at a bottle of wine.
Because the guy was telling us it wasn't that bottle he gave us, but it was a bottle that he was talking about. And he was like, oh, yeah, you can't drink this one for like 5 years. Like in 5 years, it'll be ready for you to drink.
Well, then maybe you should sell it in 5 years. Yeah. Why are you making me store it?
Yeah, right.
You're going to sell it to me and make me store it for 5 years?
Yeah.
That's a terrible investment.
Like, so you mean you got to go buy a bottle of wine and then you got to tape like a sticky note up there. Do not drink until 2019.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, one night you're half in the bag and you're like, I'm going to try that wine.
Yeah.
It's been mocking me for 2 years. I'm going to try it now.
And if you buy it and you and your girlfriend don't live together, you drink it before she comes over, then you're really up shit creek.
Or if you break up, then there's the fight over who gets to keep that bottle of wine.
Yes.
It's a terrible, terrible way to go.
Well, I gave you $40 on it.
And my heart. $40 in my heart.
I gave you $40 in a blowjob. Yeah, it was a shitty blowjob.
So it was a below market quality blowjob.
That's right. So you don't get that.
Well, at least she gave you the blowjob immediately. She didn't make you wait 5 years for
it. That's right.
So I will promise you a blowjob in 5 years.
If you buy this bottle of wine today.
Speaking of ripoffs, Christopher's Columbus. It's Columbus Day as we record this because we record on Monday nights. Columbus Day sort of losing its steam everywhere, but apparently at Thrift Town. I had somebody at work who walked into the office and they were very excited with a coupon going, it's 50% off all day at Thrift Town.
Oh, God.
I was like, all right. And this person actually got two of my office mates, actually three, sorry, because the other one finished up around lunchtime, to go with them to Thrift Town. And it was a big outing to Thrift Town because it was 50% off day.
Did they go buy like a hat with a buckle on it? And
No, they just went and claimed stuff in their own name.
Corn cobs and cornucopias.
Like, I claim this chipped piece of glass in the name of Spain. But the Seattle City Council has passed a resolution. They're replacing Columbus Day, and they're calling it Indigenous Peoples Day in the city of Seattle. Their unanimous vote celebrates the contributions and culture of Native Americans and the indigenous community on the second Monday in October, which is the same day as Columbus Day is recognized. Tribal members and other supporters say the move recognizes the rich history of people who've inhabited the area since time immemorial, or since their ancestors roamed over from Asia, whichever. Several Italian-Americans and others objected, because that's what Italian-Americans do, saying that it honors one group while disregarding the Italian heritage of others. No, there was an episode of The Sopranos about this. No, it does not. It
fuck them.
Yeah. So...
Are you Italian, man?
No, I'm just actually thinking that this is terrible for me because Italian people I can actually make fun of in public versus, you know, Native American people. That's way too hot of a topic to actually, you know, disparage. So when you see a bunch of, you know, Italian people marching around the street and whatnot talking about Columbus Day, it's a little bit easier of a target than, you know, a bunch of folks that have to go back and live on the reservation afterwards and whatnot, and I feel bad for them.
The difference is society, well, they don't have to go live on a reservation.
Well, that's true. There's plenty we're not making them do that anymore? I didn't hear about this.
Not all of them.
No, Native Americans and indigenous people can live anywhere they like.
I haven't seen one in about, like, ever, so I thought they were all living on a reservation somewhere.
So that's happening. Also, the city of Portland voted that in for all of their schools. They're going to call it Indigenous Peoples Day. The other blow...
Dan Snyder's protesting right now.
I think white people are the only people that celebrate it now anyway.
Well, to me, it's always Canadian Thanksgiving.
Oh.
So I honor my Canadian brethren by saying Happy Thanksgiving to everybody up there.
I forgot about that. They have to do it like a month and a half early just so there's not snow everywhere.
No, it's just that's when they celebrate Thanksgiving.
I'm pretty sure that's why they schedule it, right? Because like you can't barbecue a turkey when it's like below 20 outside.
By the way, you can't if you live in the Northeast, it's fucking ass cold there too in November. So the fact that Thanksgiving is in November bears no relation to where it would have actually fallen when the Pilgrims and the Native Americans got together to celebrate the fall harvest in Massachusetts. It was frozen solid in November.
I think everybody everywhere, they find some strange white people, they're going to let them starve.
Well, they didn't have to, because basically there was free food everywhere in the summertime. They're like, blueberries and elk are everywhere. And then all of a sudden the winter came and they all started starving to death.
Damn, it gets cold here. It's crap. So yeah, here's the other big blow. Bank's not closing on Columbus Day anymore either. There was a big notice in my bank window saying, we are open on Columbus Day.
Yeah, nobody's celebrating this shit anymore.
Well, banks always love banks. Well, not just banks, but most employers enjoy the chance to not pay people to not work.
Yeah.
A holiday, what's that? I have to pay you when you don't come to work? I don't care for that. So yeah. That's it.
Yeah, I think it's a... As
and how do we celebrate somebody we're not even named after?
Yeah, it's... Well, I don't believe Columbus ever actually set foot on what is the United States of America.
No, he didn't. He was in Cuba.
Yeah.
Did he get to Puerto Rico? Because that is like actually part of America.
Yeah, that's Puerto Rico,
like,
Cuba, somewhere down there.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he did or not. I was going to look it up, and then I lost interest because no one pays attention
to Columbus.
He got
to Cuba. Hispaniola, that was Cuba.
Hispaniola, yeah. I thought that was the Dominican Republic.
It could be.
Somewhere in that area.
But yeah.
Places I don't want to go. So thank you for Columbus for going all the places I don't want to go and being confused about where you were. Speaking of people who got cut out of things, Aunt Jemima's family is demanding $2 billion for a cut of the pancake business.
That's what I call reparations.
I know, right? This is from Time Magazine. They are the self-proclaimed descendants of Aunt Jemima, and they've sued the brand for allegedly appropriating the image and recipe of living persons while offering false promises of compensation. The plaintiffs claimed that their great-grandmother, Anna Short Harrington, refined the recipe for the pancake mix along with Nancy Green, the original inspiration for the brand's Aunt Jemima figurehead. That's according to the Louisville Courier-Journal. They contend the agreement existed to share a percentage of revenue each time the likeness of their relative was used to market the pancake mix, and that they're owed $2 billion in compensation, plus a share in future revenue. The brand's owner, Quaker Oats, which is a subsidiary of PepsiCo, PEP, denies that any such contract existed or that the iconic figurehead was meant to resemble any living person. The image symbolizes a sense of caring, warmth, hospitality, and comfort. That's according to a statement from Quaker Oats, and is neither based on nor meant to depict any one person.
White people, please.
Wait, so you're telling me a corporation ripped somebody off?
Exactly. Like, oh, you just drew a picture of some random person? That's not a real picture of somebody? Like, bitch, please.
The $1 billion is kind of crazy, though. I don't know about, like, $2 billion. And I also like the reporting. Whenever you say self-proclaimed, I mean, well, like, self-proclaimed.
But the other part of that is they do have paperwork.
Well, I can make paperwork, too. Just because you have paperwork doesn't mean it's actually accurate.
Well, what if it is, though?
What if it is? That's why they're self-proclaimed.
Yeah, $1 billion. I can buy pancakes, and pancakes cost nothing to make. Like, how many pancakes did they have to sell to make $2 billion worth of pancakes? Good
how much,
Lord.
How much money have they made off of those pancakes?
That's what I'm saying. Like, pancakes cost nothing. So
I know, but I'm just
saying.
That's where you come up with that number.
It's not $2 billion.
I bet you they've probably made a real substantial amount of money.
How many short stacks?
Even if they've grossed $2 billion, and that's a stretch to say they've grossed $2 billion since they started selling this stuff. That is a gross, not a net. You would have to take out all of the cost of production materials, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you're not getting 100% of it. Because a spokesperson doesn't, I mean, even if you go, this is a spokesperson, they should be compensated. Okay, how much are you compensated?
So the amount's kind of crazy.
You get compensated for every time the image is used. Normally, that's how that works.
Well, not necessarily,
if you're doing
though.
A commercial, that's how that works.
Only if it's structured that way. Right. You can structure the agreement any way you want.
And if they,
she didn't have her SAG card.
Right.
That's right.
And if they were the creators of the mix, then... Yeah, then you get some portion of that revenue.
Unless they signed it over.
Oh, yeah. Unless they signed it over.
Right. Now, here's the other thing, though. If you're hired as an employee or a subcontractor, and you come as a... So, like, I work for a company, and anything I do while I'm on the clock for that company is technically property of the company. So if I come up with a great idea, say, like, I come up with a great idea for a reality TV show... And I say, I've got this great idea for a reality TV show, and I happen to and I've done any work on it at all while I'm at work. Technically, my employer, because they are paying me to work there, can claim that they have all of the rights to that idea and everything that is derived from it, because I'm being paid as an employee.
Can we just go back to $2 billion real quick? Actually, okay. This is just blowing my mind. $2 billion. Okay, like, let's just share in that with every, like, every studio musician that ever worked in, like, Muscle Shoals, and, like, every, like, Motown musician that never got any money. Then, like, I don't know the $2
billion. But that doesn't mean that they shouldn't get money still, and they probably still should get money. Okay, so everybody knows the McDonald's case of the lady who spilled the coffee in her her lap.
She was severely burned.
She was severely burned. So the jury gave her like $3 million.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that was too much?
I saw the pictures, so no, like, it wasn't too much. I saw the I saw a little documentary about it, and those pictures were gnarly.
Right, but where did they come up with that number?
They probably saw the pictures of her burns, because that shit was gnarly.
That the number they came up with was a day's worth of coffee sales. Or 2 days worth of coffee sales.
I'd give up 2 days. So we need to get to the pancake math in this.
Yeah. So there's 2 days worth of coffee sales. That was like $3 million. So how long have they been selling these pancakes?
Yeah, about 100 years.
Okay. Yeah. So they've made quite a bit of money.
Man, people used to eat a lot more pancakes than they do now. Before cereal, it was just like pancakes for breakfast every day.
Yeah. You know, people used to also make them from scratch too.
Yeah.
They weren't just going to buy that. I would think they'd get more from the syrup. So either way,
I'm pretty sure they. Somebody did some crunch some numbers somewhere to find out how much.
Mrs. Butterworth better call somebody, because this shit is getting paid.
She probably should.
Either that.
And Uncle Ben.
Now, either that or a couple of guys were sitting around in an apartment going, you know what we should do?
And I think it's hilarious that you. How did you describe to say that it was the image was supposed to describe what now again?
It was, let me go back. It was like warmth and.
Essentially, white people couldn't say mammy.
Yeah.
So they had to be warmth, caring, nurturing.
Yeah. So you found a black woman that's what you thought of her at the time.
Al Jolson couldn't write the article. So
You know, that is actually a really nice way to think of anybody, honestly.
Yeah, it's like, mammy. That's what we're here thinking.
Well, not mammy, but like home and welcoming and warming. I mean, that's awesome.
Mammy, that's what they wanted to say. They couldn't get away with saying it.
Had to put all kinds of descriptives in there.
Well, they could until the 30s. I mean, to be fair.
No, they could. They couldn't until the 60s.
Well, there you go. And they didn't. So good for them.
They said it. They might as well have had it from the help. You was beautiful. You was kind. You was amazing.
You is good enough. You is smart enough.
You is pancakes.
That's it.
So this is a weird story. There's a headmaster of a very prestigious private school in the Bay Area who got busted right here in Sacramento. Let's see if this will load up so we can play this.
The headmaster of a prestigious Bay Area school gets busted after being caught in a motel room with drugs and an unconscious woman. The scandal shocking a small North Bay community tonight. Good evening, everyone. I'm Larry Beal. Dan and Amma have the night off. 54-year-old Thomas Woody Price of the Branson School in Marin County submitted his resignation following his arrest on felony drug charges. ABC 7's Lillian Kim live in Ross now, where the school community and really the rest of Marin is in shock tonight. Lillian?
Larry, this isn't just any school. This is the Branson School, a small, exclusive private high school where news of their headmaster spread fast. Deputies say they found Thomas Woody Price in a Sacramento County motel room Friday with large amounts of drugs, including heroin, meth, and cocaine. Deputies say they also found a woman passed out, 21-year-old Brittany Hall of Elk Grove. It was her boyfriend who tipped authorities that Hall and Price were together doing drugs.
Everybody's sad that it happened. It's really devastating because we're a tight community, you know, and he was a great leader.
Matt is a junior at the Branson School, where Price became headmaster 7 years ago. Branson is a small school with only 320 students. Tuition is almost $40,000. In a letter, the chair of the Branson Board of Trustees
because Dolly Parton plays
that
every
Price
weekend.
So her punk-ass boyfriend.
And on to say, we are deeply troubled by these developments. We want you to be assured that our school leadership team and our Board of Trustees are fully committed to the health and well-being of your children.
Yeah, so please disregard what the principal of our $40,000 a year school was doing in Sacramento.
Hey, he went 200 miles away to do that. He didn't want to do it in front of the kids.
That's right. You know, he should have kept going, because if he would have made it to Nevada, no one would have caught him.
I love when shit like this happens in the Bay Area, because they just got done at like the Fulton Street Fair, watching some people get tied up and spanked in public and shit, and they come back home to hear about the principal doing math. They're like, oh my God, this is an outrage. We live in a wholesome community. My God.
Well,
it's funny. Her boyfriend called to rat him out.
Yeah, it's like, hey, there's a dude doing drugs with my girlfriend in a motel room.
My girlfriend sucking this guy's dick, and I don't like it. So could you go make him stop, please?
He had all four major food groups too. He had like heroin, meth, women, cocaine. He was hitting them all.
Girl That's young it. Enough to be his daughter.
That is it. He was like, oh, I am not gonna get tired tonight.
Yeah, three felony counts, including possession for sale because of the large quantities of drugs. Yee.
Man, he was going to fuck her all weekend.
That's right. He was going to make a long weekend of it, unless he died. But, so.
That's the kind of guy you want instructing your kids. You know, he can really teach you guys to go the long haul. He's going all the way. He's not just going half-assed on anything. This guy's going big or going home.
Yeah, when you're going to commit to something, commit to it.
Wow. Damn it, kids. Learn by my example.
All right. Speaking of which, Sarah Palin's family threw down in a massive drunken brawl as violent as any wrestling cage match, with ripped shirts, bloodied faces, and daughter Bristol getting dragged around the lawn by her legs.
Does she get dragged around any other way? I'm just wondering.
It went down last month.
I dragged her by her hair.
Near Anchorage, when the Palin clan, Todd and his kids, Willow, Track, and Bristol, went to a friend's house party. Now, according to the police report obtained by TMZ, the violence erupted when Bristol went after a woman who had allegedly shoved her younger sister, Willow. Bristol told police the homeowner, whose name is Corey Klingenmeyer, shoved her to the ground, dragged her around, and started calling her a slut and a cunt. Corey and several other witnesses at the party saw it differently, telling cops Bristol punched him in the face. He says he let her hit him 5 to 6 times before grabbing her fist and pushing back, sending her reeling to the ground. That scrap then sparked an all-out brawl. Witnesses say Track and 3 to 4 other people came running to defend Bristol, and all hell broke loose with the Palins, including Dad Todd, taking on all comers. Willow says several people at the party were chanting, "Fuck the Palins."
Really?
Yeah.
Are you surprised?
If these guys had the Secret Service with them, this would have been amazing.
Except for this. Sarah Palin, this came out after, she waited in the limo while the family got into the brawl because she's too good for that.
At least that's what she told the news media. She was probably right in the middle of it, and then she told everyone, oh, I didn't even see it. I was in the car the whole time.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
I read the article about it. I like the part at the end. I believe her son took off his shirt and was marching up and down the street, challenging people to fight. Like, it was just, you know.
Sounds like every drunk white guy I ever met.
Exactly. It was like the whitest thing to do. It was like, you just took off your shirt. That's like the sign of anger in white culture. Like, I'm so mad, I'm getting undressed. That's just it. God damn it.
I'm ready to go.
And that's probably what he said, too. God damn it.
God damn it, don't you know who I am?
I will fight you all.
I almost wish I would have. See, if I would have known this was going to go down, I would have voted for John McCain, because I would like a sitting vice president to have this happen.
He said, I'll fight every nigger up in here.
He's not a Phillies player. Right? Well, he doesn't play for the
Phillies. They were in Alaska.
There were none, first of all. It was just all white people fighting white people.
Well, a few
that's
natives.
That's what happened with the Phillies guy, too.
Ain't no party like an Alaska party.
It's come a long ways. It wasn't fighting over a gold nugget anymore. It's just over. I don't even know what that was over.
It's true. All right, it's time for this now.
They act, we decide. Cool or tool?
All right, first up in cool or tool, pancakes. Kareem?
Pancakes are cool. Not paying people for their shit is tool.
Justin?
Pancakes, I'd say it's a $1 billion industry, apparently. They're cool.
Yeah, pancakes are cool. You know, I like pancakes. Short stack, tall stack, silver dollar, whatever. You gotta like pancakes. By the way, if you really want pancakes, the sweet cream pancakes at the Black Bear Diner, fucking fantastic. Up next in Cooler Tool, day trips. Day trips, Justin?
Day trips, I'm going to say cool, since we live somewhat close to the Bay Area, but that's just because we're tools here, so we have to go to the Bay Area for our fun.
Kareem?
Hey, where I can go stay naked and say I'm at the top of the world, cool.
Yeah, day trips are cool.
Where was that happening? Where was this naked top of the world trip happening?
I told you, man, the winery.
Okay. That was the 21st class. When he got in his mind, he got naked.
I got naked.
And finally, in cooler tool, day trips are cool, by the way. Taking on all comers, Kareem.
That is really white.
Unless you're a porn star, that is not cool. That is tool.
Yeah, it's tool. Especially if you start out with, you think you're better than me? if you ever hear anybody use that line, you think you're better than me, you just got to leave. Because nothing good is going to happen after that. And that's it for Cooler Tool. Hey, just a reminder, if you like the show, the best way to support us is to shop Amazon through the Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. You're going to shop there anyway, so go ahead and do it through us. It does not cost you anything extra, and it helps support the show. So once again, go to NateDarlingShow.com, click the Shop Amazon tab, and have your way with them. Whether it's a Halloween costume, some Thanksgiving decorations, or in fact, something for Christmas. Because they do gift wrapping too, so you can ship a wrapped gift. It's good times. Amazon.com through NateDarlingShow.com. I was out at a couple of stores, and any place that sells fake trees has them up. It's like a forest of fake Christmas trees out there. And people were disgusted when I put the photos on Facebook. They're like, where's that store so I can not shop there? It's like, it's at the mall. Don't go.
People are getting angry that the decorations keep coming out earlier and earlier. I was really excited when I saw Trader Joe's had Halloween stuff up like at the end of August. I was pumped.
Yeah. I saw Halloween stuff and I was like, cool. And then I saw somebody with some Christmas lights like right underneath. Like they can take their Halloween stuff, all the Christmas lights are there. I'm like, that's some bullshit.
I hope the two blend. It's like a big Nightmare Before Christmas thing the whole time, like all year round. Just be that. That's it. That's all we celebrate.
You know, the only thing that bothered me about it was it wasn't the trees. It was an inflatable Darth Vader with an inflatable Death Star in front of him with the Imperial Death March playing over and over again. Dun, 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 dun. Like, if you put that on your lawn, you should just be slapped. That's it. Because yeah, it's outdoor.
And I don't really see what that has to do with Halloween. It's more of a
no, that's a Christmas thing. It was for Christmas.
Oh, it was a Christmas thing.
Well, yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's your dad. I mean, that's like, you know, it's a father-son reunion thing. They're like, get back together with dad for Christmas.
Family Christmas. Like Luke and Leia almost had. Got a lot of news out of Portland, the Portland area anyway, this show. This I love the headline. So, you know, when you have something new, you're really excited about it and you're thinking about it and you're carrying it and you're just on top of the world. That happened to a guy who was openly carrying his new handgun. And he was robbed on the street by a man with a gun of his own.
That was like my favorite story of the day.
Police were called out to at 2:10 a.m., by the way.
Did he steal the guy's gun? Was he like, give me the gun, too? Give me your wallet and that gun on your hip.
Yeah, he stole the gun.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's... Investigators say the 21-year-old victim bought a handgun earlier in the day and was openly carrying it while talking to his cousin. They said the man approached them and asked for a cigarette. Talk eventually turned to the victim's new purchase before the robber pulled his own gun from his waistband and said, I like your gun. Give it to me. The victim handed over his gun and the suspect ran away. The suspect is described as a light-skinned black man, 19 to 23, 6'1", with a skinny build. He had black wavy hair and was clean cut except for a small patch of facial hair across his chin. The man was wearing gray sweatpants, a white t-shirt, and flip-flops. The weapon he used in the robbery was a black gun, possibly semi-automatic. The stolen gun, also a black Walther model, P-22. It's semi-automatic. And
you know, whenever getting into like a robbery scenario, I like to wear flip-flops because that's the best that's the best getaway scenario ever. Wear your fucking flip-flops and just like shuffle away as quickly as possible.
To be fair, he was getting away with both guns. So they're probably no not one's chasing him. But no one's going to chase me. I've got both guns.
Just come prepared. I'm just saying, like, if shit goes down, like, you might want to wear some track shoes or like at least some basketball shoes. I don't know. Just flip flops seems like a very poor choice.
Yeah, well, summer in Oregon, you know how it is. I'm that's what's called getting the drop on him because it's like, yeah, it's a nice gun there. Yeah, I like it. I just got it today. All right, give it to me. Boom.
Can't wait for the future when we all are strapped.
Yep. Another great example of, and let's see. Yeah, no identification of whether the victim was white or black. Just that the person who stole the gun was black. So good luck finding him. Oftentimes, Kareem, you know, we bash cops on this show.
Yes.
A lot of times they deserve it, too. But when I hear about something good a cop does, I like to point that out too. A public safety officer from Emmett Township, Michigan, went beyond the call of duty last week. Ben Hall's his name. He was on patrol and he pulled over a vehicle for a traffic violation. When he saw the driver, he noticed a small child in the car who was wearing a seat belt but not a child's car seat. The young mother told the officer that she understood the importance of having the child in a car seat, but could not afford one because of her limited income at the time. Now, rather than giving her a traffic ticket, Officer Hall had the mother pull into a Walmart parking lot where he went inside and purchased a car seat to keep her daughter safe in. Did that with his own money. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you get some cops that do some nice stuff like that, but we don't hear about them.
No, we don't. So that's why when I actually hear a story like that, like there was a cop that bought boots for a homeless guy in New York last year, and then the homeless guy sold them. But here they're there.
But those guys, what they need to do, and this is the same thing I say about white people. When you find somebody doing something racist or doing something bad, don't make an excuse for them. Call them shits out on that shit. Be like, look, no, these motherfuckers are wrong. I'm not with these bastards. And then it would make it a lot better, because that's more of the frustration with people is that you get behind that person as opposed to like, okay, dude, yeah, you're fucked up, and get rid of his ass.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But since we do bash cops whenever we hear a good story, I'd like to pass that along, too.
I bet she was a white lady.
I don't know. It's hard to tell in Michigan. It could be anybody.
Did I tell you about the night I got pulled over by, I was like at 22nd and probably like K?
No.
Yeah, I got pulled over because I'd had like the most white experience I've ever had in my entire life.
And not counting the wine tasting?
Not counting the wine tasting. Okay. This was even whiter than the wine tasting.
Wow.
Have you ever been to an 80s party?
No.
Yeah, I went to an 80s party and they played all the shitty 80s music.
Right, that's why I don't go to 80s parties.
Not the mix of 80s music. They played like the whitest of the white of the 80s music.
Yeah, terrible 80s music. Yeah. That's why I don't go to those parties.
And when I left, I felt like I needed to listen to like Tupac and Biggie and every piece of hardcore.
To cleanse your soul. You were just like, good God.
It was like looking
play some Nas. Can I just not hear that shit?
Like I felt so vanilla after I left that I sat at a light like contemplating my life after leaving this party after the light turned green and he pulled me over.
What?
Yeah. Because he was like, why didn't you go when the light changed? And then I explained it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I explained to him what happened and he just looked at me and he almost peed in his pants laughing. And he was like, all right, dude, you can go.
You're welcome.
Clear enough for you.
All right.
What's coming from Kareem's car?
My niggas look mad. Right. Y'all supposed to be happy on the screen. Yeah. Y'all niggas look like y'all wanted me to stay in jail.
I think I was looking for old school NWA. That's how bad it was.
I need something to wash the Oingo Boingo away. My God.
Something. Like, get this off of me.
No more Cyndi Lauper, please.
I felt violated.
So what was the whitest music that they had there that you were listening to?
What is it? Take on.
Oh, aha.
Yeah.
They're so white, they're Scandinavian.
Yes. they played all of this stuff that like falls along those lines.
Oh, okay.
By the darkest thing they played was Prince.
No, they didn't even. No. They didn't
like,
even,
ooh, that's dangerous, guys.
They
don't
didn't
play
even play
here.
Prince.
That's.
We don't want people getting freaky.
They didn't even play Madonna. They played like.
All right, hold on. I've just on Spotify, I've done a search. It's 80s pop hits. Here we go. Let's see if any of these were played at the party. This one might not be because there's a black man involved. This is Philip Bailey and Phil Collins, Easy Lover.
No.
No, not that. Okay. Rosanna by Toto.
Yes.
I'm going to skip right over Clarence Clemens and Jackson Brown because, no, that wouldn't be it. Lisa and Cult Jam.
No.
How about this? Little REO Speedwagon.
Yes.
The slow dance portion to the night.
Bonnie Tyler.
That would have fit in perfect.
Yeah. All right, get ready to get really white.
Yeah.
They had to play this.
No.
Really?
Some Wham? No.
An 80s party without Wham? That's terrible.
God,
I would have been okay with Wham. This. No, see, no, you're playing the good part of the 80s music. You're not playing.
Right. Well, I'm just going through an 80s hits on Spotify. This is just completely random.
I think you're saying like, you know, more Thompson Twins.
More Thompson Twins.
Kind of,
Yeah, they played this.
Oh, well, they have to.
That's contractually required. If the 80s is in the theme, they have to play Cyndi Lauper.
And there are women there. Yeah, you got to play that. There's a lot of slow ones on this one. Let's see.
Is there some DJ Scat Cat in there? Is that 80s technically or is that 90s? 90. I don't know.
It's like late 80s, early 90s, right on the border.
Oh, here's probably the whitest song ever.
Oh, wow.
This is white in 80s. It's Matthew Wilder and Break My Stride.
I don't know, whiter than Christopher Cross? I don't know. This is trying for some Caribbean sound here.
Yeah.
He's kind of trying.
Wait till he starts singing. Right about now.
Last night I had the strangest dream.
Wow.
I sailed away to China. Yeah. In a little rowboat to find ya.
Wow.
Josie's on a vacation.
There you go.
Yeah. This is my music.
Nice.
Little Footloose. Did they play Footloose?
They probably did.
Yeah, they'd have to. Men at Work, that's super white 80s.
Black people like that.
Because it's foreign, I get it.
It's Australian. Yeah. It's got that great sound to it.
They have saxophone, so.
Little Psych Furs.
Yeah, see, this would be one of those things like, yeah, no.
This is like more like an emo 80s party is what it sounds like. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of like black eyeshadow and mascara and stuff going on at this party. Yes. Oh, shit, that is scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, just.
I'm white and I'm scared of that stuff. Like, see, I don't even know. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, I thought some white people would be running out because it was like really, really white.
Like, you know, they're not with us.
That's it right here.
They're not with us. Is what I want to say. Yeah.
I was like, wow. And I have spent a lot of time with white people.
Well, yeah, we're the majority. Like, it's hard to avoid us.
I had 3 white roommates.
Oh, okay.
So I thought I'd been exposed to their culture, but I was not. Yes. I was not acclimated to this kind of
mess. Yes. I had 3 white roommates that did acid.
Well, that's the thing. See, they weren't, you know, white if they were doing acid experimenting with drugs. You know, if they were Mormon white, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's white.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what else is white? This is white.
One of them was like his dad owned a BMX shop. So yeah.
Oh, this extreme, bro.
This might be 90s.
And they always try to get me the chunky girl.
Well, that's what the brothers prefer, right?
But the thing is, the chunky girl wasn't really chunky. Y'all have like the weirdest. What's overweight?
Idea of chunky?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. She's got a B cup. I don't know. That's probably yours, buddy.
Yeah. Like she's a size 6. Oh, she is fat.
She ate last week. I don't know.
That's it.
All right. So, yeah, I would avoid that 80s party, too. So, anyway.
I was like, man, I've spent a lot of time with white people. This is way whiter than anything I've ever done.
If you just done the Carlton, you would have been the coolest dude there. They would have worshipped you like a god. They would have been like.
It was, yeah, no. And I do the Carlton occasionally. I did the Carlton for Lisa Lampanelli at one of her shows.
Nice.
So I will break out the Carlton, but that was too white for the Carlton.
Like, he's breakdancing. Look at that. It's amazing.
That was too white for the Carlton. I was like, oh. Like, I don't even know if I could have did the Carlton right. That's how bad it was.
They probably would have corrected you. Mm-mm, no. Mm,
all right. Well,
too much soul.
This next gentleman, I'll let you guys guess the race of this next gentleman. He's in trouble with the law.
Smooth getaway for a suspected flasher. Police say the guy they were chasing tripped on his own pants. Not once, but twice. Fox 12's Caitlin Bolduc is live with why neighbors say it's not the first time they've seen him around. Caitlin?
Well, people who live in this area and frequent the St. John's neighborhood here off Lombard Street say they've seen the 19-year-old before, specifically in that plaza area just behind that clock there off of Philadelphia. And those people say they are grateful he's finally behind bars. In the middle of this busy intersection, in the heart of St. John's, Portland police say Joey Vandervoort unzipped his pants and exposed himself while looking at a woman. A sight so disturbing, witnesses call police, but it's a sight that's no shock to those who've spotted Vandervoort in the neighborhood before.
It was so his penis, so disgusting.
I like that they all knew who he was beforehand. They've all seen him beforehand. That's how you know this is a working class neighborhood, because everyone's like, oh, jerk off Jerry. Fuck, we saw that guy all the time. I'm fine. Yeah, we call it all the time about him. What the hell? What happened?
When they approached him at the intersection last night, he allegedly took a swing at an officer and tried to run, only he failed to zip up his pants, so he tripped and flipped onto his back. When he got up and tried to run again, police say he fell a second time As word spread around the neighborhood, business owners who've had run-ins with him before breathed a sigh of relief.
Well, one of my cooks came. We were sitting outside discussing some restaurant business stuff. And she looked over there and she goes, "Ooh, what's that guy doing with his belt?" And I said, she goes, "Did he just pee in the corner or what did he do?"
Yeah, things are different in Portland. His mugshot, he's got a giant scuff mark on his just off the side of his chin where he probably fell on his back after he took a swing at cops. By the way, if you take a swing at cops, I don't care what color you are, you're going in with some bruises.
Yeah, I just like that.
I'm still trying to figure out how he didn't get tased.
Yeah. Well, his pants were down.
First of all, I like that everyone knows who Jerk Off Jerry is. Everyone's right. Like, oh, the guy jerking off. Oh, we all know who that is. And second off, I think in most neighborhoods, he probably would have got his ass beat. But this is like Portland where everyone's like, let him express himself, everyone. This Jerry's just trying to, you know, get some energy out.
He deserved to get tased in the ass for doing
that. True. Well, I mean, here's the thing. In Midtown Sacramento, if you... the number of times there're dudes peeing somewhere, I mean, come on. It happens everywhere because we're inundated with homeless people.
Yeah, but he wasn't being homeless. He was being...
Well, it's unclear whether he was homeless or not. He was also a pervert. Let's not mistake him for anything else. I mean, but yeah, there was a guy... I ran into a guy on BART yesterday going down the escalator. He's right in front of me in the escalator, and I just... basically ignore anything like this. He's turning around and he's like, "I'm a trillionaire. Steve Jobs ain't got shit on me. I'm a trillionaire." And he's like spitting his name over and over again. I'm just ignoring him, staring past him like something, because I always have this in my back pocket. If he pulls out the "Are you ignoring me?" I'll be like, "Oh my god!" And you're invisible too.
Well, sometimes, like, you know, positive affirmations, if you're homeless, where are you going to do those? I mean, like, you don't really, you can't just, like, sit at home in your mirror and tell yourself that you're good enough and you're smart enough and goddamn it, people like you. Like, you have to wander around telling everyone, "I'm a trillionaire. I'm the king of the world.
I'm a trillionaire." Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Bart.
Holy shit, Batman.
yeah, on the next show, I'll tell you about going to the Raider game. That, if you want people watching...
Raider game people watching.
Yeah, Raider game people watching.
Sorry to add something extra, but yes. I just saw this article that said Alabama tight end Kurt Friedag room yields 112 grams of marijuana, $4,600 in cash.
Wow. That is impressive.
Whenever they want to make things sound big, they just break it down into smaller and smaller increments. It's like, you know, it's... not $4,600, it's $4,600.
That's right.
And then how many grams is that? It's like they didn't do it in ounces or, you know, it's like, you know, 1,000 grams of marijuana.
So the white guy on the team gets busted for marijuana.
Well, somebody's
got to... what do you think he's going to get busted for?
Somebody's got to supply the brothers. I mean, come on, let's be fair. By the way, speaking of marijuana, did you hear about Adrian Peterson, who, by the way, is, you know, 6 to 1, half a dozen to another, the whole thing. He is out on bond for the whole whooping his child thing, whatever your opinion on that is. That's not the point of the discussion.
Is there an opinion on that, by the way? I keep seeing, like...
Yeah, Kareem has one opinion. People have their different opinions.
Okay.
It's not a debate I want to have
here. Go ahead, just say it. White people got one opinion, black people got another.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, if you punch your wife, there's only one opinion. But if you beat your kid bloody, then there's multiple opinions, apparently.
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
That's neither here nor there. So one of his conditions of his release out on bond was that he not do any recreational drugs. So he goes back into court, and he has to do a drug test. And he then tells either the bailiff or the person doing it, he goes, "By the way, I smoked a little weed." How fucking dumb are you?
Well, first of all, he should probably be required by the court to smoke weed after he beats his kid. I heard it was over a video game. Like, apparently he needs to smoke some weed and just chill the fuck out. If you're beating your kid bloody over a video game,
well,
that should be like court-ordered weed therapy.
But the punishment was over pushing his sibling, and
about playing videos.
It was from what I read, one sibling pushed another one, and that was where the discipline came
in. I just know Adrian Peterson needs to chill the fuck out, apparently, because he is getting way too, like, this is multiple times, he's making millions of dollars. Like, just hire someone to raise your kid, for God's sakes. Like, you are rich enough hire someone to babysit your kid.
Some more white shit.
He's doing the best he can. He has, I believe, 5 different children with 5 different women. He's spread
five different nannies.
He's spread very thin. That's what I'm saying.
Was that a spread pun? Was that?
Could be.
Okay.
But if you're out on bail,
if you're out on bail, don't smoke weed.
Yeah, and don't come here. Hey, I smoked a little weed. Idiot. Fucking idiot.
He probably thought dude was going to be cool with him because he's like, you know, famous. Oh, and he's like, oh, hey, bro, listen, oh, well, I smoked a little weed.
Since you told me, I guess it's okay. You being honest is the important thing, Adrian. Idiot. All right. Well, there was a fire at a crematorium in Virginia. It was they're not quite sure why, but they're assuming it's because of the 500-pound body that they were trying to cremate at the time.
Oh, yeah.
I heard about that. Americans are getting too fat to even die now.
It was a grease fire.
It was a grease fire.
We're getting so fat, we can't even get rid of our fat people.
Neighbors could see the smoke billowing from the smokestack around noon one day. The fire marshal is really an accident. There have been incidents like it at cremation companies all over the nation, but in 20 years of working at this specific one, the manager said it never happened to him. He says it's happened as a result of the size of the body his workers were processing. When it comes to handling obese bodies, extra steps are taken to ensure the cremation process goes smoothly. Jerry Hendricks, no relation to Jimmy, says the worker took all the right steps, but because the particular situation involved a 500-pound body, things took an unexpected turn. Quote, the body was so obese, the actual body fat came off and went straight up the sack and hit the roof material. The rubber roof we have in there, and that's what made it go up like it did. There was no negligence involved in it. My guys, we all did what we could. Once it started, the grease hit the roof.
Did they say the rubber roof?
Yes. The grease hit the roof and started the fire. The only thing we could do is call 911 and get the fire department here.
Because if I'm burning large amounts of shit, I'm going to cover my building in rubber. That's really the best idea.
Well, I'm not familiar with crematorium
construction.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
But there were three other bodies on site at the cremation at the time of the fire. But the manager says none of them were damaged in the process.
Oh, thank God.
As for the 500-pound body, the company was able to finish preparing it later that day. Excuse me, three people were inside the plant at the time of the fire. All were able to get out unharmed. It was contained to the roof and was under control within a half hour. So good job to the fire department.
Did they make a point of saying the other dead people were not injured?
No. There were three people. They made a point to say the other three bodies were not damaged.
The other three bodies. Yeah. Thank God. Yes,
so there was no cross-contamination. When honest,
they're all going to get burned.
Honest, like honest when you get your ashes, they're just going to be your beloved relative's ashes.
Because when my nephew snorts my ashes, I want to make sure they are my actual ashes.
He scattered
them. People be sewing over them ashes, man. You got to get this shit right.
I don't know. You guys, do either of you want to be cremated?
Actually, I do.
Okay.
No, I have no interest in being cremated.
You want to go on the ground?
I want to go, yeah, I want to go, like, just do, like, the Jewish style where they just get, like, a really plain box, drill a bunch of holes in it, make sure I decompose extra fast. And that's fine. Like, I can deal with that. I don't know if I could deal with, like, because on the one, you know, in like 20 million chance that I was actually alive, burning alive would not be, like, so I get buried alive, I would take over burning alive.
Well, you're going to die if you get buried alive anyway. Too, yeah.
Like, either way, I'm just saying, I'm going to die either way. I could go all Kill Bill on that shit and just punch through that and, you know, wiggle my way out. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the embalming would kill you either way.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you're thinking about the cremation?
I'm pretty much there, yeah.
Okay. Do you want to be like have your ashes scattered somewhere, or do you want to like divide them up amongst people, or
scatter me on a mountain?
Okay, I was just curious because people have their different things. I have no idea what I want. Everybody's like, "What do you want to do?" And I go, "Fuck, I don't even know where I'm going to be living. I don't have any kids right now." So
exactly.
I mean, the Hunter S. Thompson, like, you know, blowing your ashes off in a giant cannon was pretty awesome. He just, like, straight launched. I bet, too. Like, you guys don't know that. Like, Hunter S. Thompson got, like, his ashes launched him off through a cannon. That's,
you know, and it'd be like his nephew having you and snorting you and shit. Like, you know, just scatter me somewhere.
Yeah, well, and like, my parents have their gravestone. My mom passed away. My dad's still alive. And they have a plot that's big enough for four people because they, you know, they plan ahead and all that stuff. And they asked me if I wanted, when they bought the headstone, do you want your name on the headstone? And I said, no fucking way do I want my name on the headstone. Because A, I don't want my name on a headstone before I'm dead. Two, I don't know if I'm going to want to be buried in Vermont. And three, Fuck no.
No. You know, I think it's just providing you some direction in life. You know, you're really just know where you're going.
The end of it.
You know exactly
how
this is all going to end.
Into the ground. It is on a
hilltop. A lot of pressure. Yeah. It takes a lot of pressure. You know exactly what's going to happen.
I don't know. It puts a lot of pressure on me. You're like, Mom, are you trying to tell me something?
Like, don't you want to spend your entire, like, you know, like, imagine if eternity actually, you know, is your grave and whatnot. You get to spend it with your parents. Who doesn't want that to happen?
Yeah.
With all of my other relatives all around. That's fine. Yeah. Yeah, so my whole thing is like, I don't know where I'm going to be. And if I have kids, if I'm going to have kids, I would rather be somewhere where they could come visit my grave rather than, you know, off whatever. Because I've moved around. It's not like I've spent all of my life. If you spend all your life in one spot, then of course you want to be buried in a certain general area. Yeah. But otherwise. Yeah.
Like I have my Sacramento dad's ashes there at my house.
Okay.
Sitting on top of my bookcase.
Yeah, when I had to put my cats down, my other cats, when they were old and sick, they cremate them, and they go, "Would you like the ashes?" And I said, "No, I would not. Thank you." Yeah. that's okay.
The funny thing is I have them because my mom's afraid to have them in the house now.
Okay. Well, it's different to have a person's ashes, obviously, but that would be really tough. You know, you have somebody over, and you're like, you're just, you know, on a nice romantic evening, and they're like, "What's that up on the cat?" "Oh, it's my cat's ashes."
Yeah, I would look at, yeah.
probably get some play though. She's like, "He's so sensitive. He's cat's ashes on the mantle."
Might is the key word there.
If it's if you do that and it's a she, you'd be like, "Yeah, I am out of here." It's as soon as you finish this blowjob.
Well, you know, Facebook can be a problem. Well, an Ohio police say a woman was so upset by an unflattering photo that detectives posted to Facebook that she called them and demanded that it be removed, but that led to her arrest. This is a first for us, said Denise Alex Bouzanis, who's the public information officer with the Columbus Police Department. She really didn't want her face out there for everyone to see. Now, according to the PIO, she posted a 34-year-old mugshot, her name's Monica Hargrove, to the department's Facebook page on September 10th as part of a weekly roundup called Warrant Wednesday. It included her mugshot, her name, and information about the crime. The Facebook post read in part, "On August 30th, Hargrove offered a female acquaintance a ride to a pharmacy on East Main Street to pick up a prescription. After the acquaintance got the prescription and got back in the vehicle, Hargrove robbed the victim at gunpoint, leading her on the side of the road." So it's a day that started out nice and didn't finish that way. According to the Columbus Dispatch, Hargrove had been indicted in the case for aggravated robbery and kidnapping. Now, the Facebook post, which garnered 64 shares and some 54,000 page views, did not go unnoticed by Hargrove. Police say the woman was so upset by the mugshot photo, which she considered unflattering, that she called within 48 hours. She contacted the detective listed on the Facebook post and said, "Hey, I want my picture down." The detective said, "Come on in and we'll talk about it." And that's what she did. She came in and was arrested because there was a warrant out.
Does everything need to be alliteration in America now, by the way? Like,
yes.
This is Warrant Wednesday. This is Throwback Thursday. It's better Tuesday. It's like, dear God, can we just, like, have, you know, hey, this is the day where we try to catch people who robbed people at gunpoint.
It's what dumb people like.
Exactly.
Dumb people like alliteration and puns. So Warrant Wednesday has proven to be such a success for the police department that they plan on continuing using Facebook to hunt down wanted individuals. We've had a lot of Facebook followers help turn people in, but apparently this is the first time that one has turned themselves in because they hated the photo. So nice job. Nice job. That is awesome. Can you imagine hating your photo enough to just turn yourself in?
Women hate bad photos of themselves. They will take your phone and review every photo you have ever taken of them before you ever get that phone back. Like, women will not stand. They will not abide by a poor photo.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an unfortunate thing. They won't. And I love the ones who take the Facebook photo. The only, like, the way up one where they're looking.
Oh, yes, I love this. There's somewhere, like, there's a blimp following people around taking photos.
Yeah, that's what you look like to Shaquille O'Neal. Yes. The rest of us know what you look like.
Hey, from, like, you know, if you're 9 feet tall, I look super sexy.
That's right. Shaquille O'Neal thinks all the... That's why Shaquille O'Neal is such a happy guy. He thinks all women are really, really hot.
Like, these women are beautiful. It's just cleavage and small noses.
That's it. You know, I think his last girlfriend was like 5 foot tall.
That's right. Well, that was also because she came up to his dick. Literally, that's about mouth level for her. All right, we've reached pretty much the end of the show, which means it's time to do this.
Don't let the big world overwhelm you. Let's get small. Small town news.
All right, we've done this before. It's the grand scene from the Grand Forks Herald in North Dakota, and here's what's going on this week.
Welcome to the grand scene for October 13th to the 19th. I'm Bianca Bina, and this is your front row ticket to
get
events
ready
around the area. On Monday, take the kiddos to Disney Live Mickey's Music Festival at the Ralph Engelstad Arena. Join Mickey, Minnie, and the crew in this celebration of beloved films through music, dancing, and singing, guaranteed to create lasting memories for the entire family.
This is their music underneath, by the way. I'm not playing this.
Tickets are $20 to $60, and the show begins at 6:30 p.m. Doubt, A Parable, continues its second weekend of performances at the Empire Arts Center Thursday through Sunday.
A parable about religion.
Winner
sounds
of the
great.
2005 Pulitzer Prize and Tony Award, the story surrounds a progressive young priest and a nun consumed with doubt about faith and institutions.
Sinners.
Tickets for this production are $15 and $20.
I love her great ability to read.
While the weather's still bearable, head downtown for the final Art and Wine Walk of 2014.
Still bearable. That's why they have to talk about the weather out there.
From area artists.
It's North
speak
Dakota.
To the creators well, to learn
well
more
you can
about
actually still
process.
Go outside. Come out to the Art and Wine Walk.
But your grandma still can go outside without risk of death.
Complete the afternoon with a champagne reception at the Empire, where you'll receive a free wine glass and attempt at a chance at a gift basket drawing.
Ooh!
The China Circus presents the award-winning Chinese acrobats on Sunday at 7 p.m. at the Chester Fritz Auditorium.
With it's not even actual Chinese people.
I don't know. They have shots of them on a unicycle.
The production will leave people of all ages on the edge of their seats. Tickets are $12 to $37, but children aged 5 and under are free. For more information on these events and for a list of other...
And that's what's going on around Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Thank God I live in California. Dear Lord.
So that's why we do small town news. Sometimes it's actually...
next week.
Well, while the weather's still bearable, Cream. If you're going to move, now's the time to do it.
Come along with like a suicide hotline at the end of it, for God's sakes.
Well, again, that's... look, I grew up in a very, very small town. Actually, between small towns on a farm. And Kareem, you grew up in a small town.
Yes, on super, a farm.
Yeah. So, yeah, when you grow up in an area like that, this is the sort of thing. I'm trying to illustrate to people that small town living kind of sucks.
Your choices are like
limited.
A Mickey Mouse musical review.
I would have killed for what's going on here when I was growing up. We didn't have anywhere near this much stuff.
Or a parable about a priest and a nun losing their faith.
The mall, the church.
Oh, you had a mall?
Well, it was like 20 miles away. Mall, church, that's it.
You had a mall. It's like that Monty Python sketch. You had a mall. Luxury.
Mall, a church, and church, and that's it.
All right. So on the last podcast, I happened to mention there was a lot of talk about my record player. It's working now. And so I've got vinyl now.
Welcome to the 1970s.
I know. It's awesome. One of the albums that I just bought is Creedence Clearwater Revival's Willie and the Poor Boys. And here's an album cut from that very thing that I will leave you with on this episode of the Nate Darling Show. It came out of the sky. It's CCR. We'll see you on Friday with a fresh new show, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.